You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch us live every day at about 3 o'clock Central Time. You can also catch the rewatch on all these platforms. You can listen to the podcast version of the show on the Blogging the Boys podcast feed. Make sure you subscribe on all Apple and Android devices. Make sure you also, by the way, subscribe to the official Blogging the Boys YouTube channel. Happy Tuesday. It is December 18th, 2018, and we are here. It is week 16 of the 2018 NFL season. Somehow, some way, there are only 2 weeks left in the regular season. There are only 2 games left for the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, this Sunday's contest against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will serve as the final home regular season game of the season for the Cowboys. Obviously, we're all hoping and banking on there being more games at AT&T Stadium for the Cowboys this season as a playoff team. Donnie on Periscope says, where did the time go? I have no idea, my man. I have no clue where the time went, but it went somewhere. And the Cowboys find themselves, 8-6. It's hard to be upset about that. Lawrence King on BTB's Facebook Live feed says, do you think we intend to win the division at home? To kind of set the stage in terms of what the Cowboys are facing right now, they can win the division at home this Sunday against Tampa Bay. Obviously, they could have won the division on the road against the Indianapolis Colts, but it would be kind of cool. I'm not at all suggesting that the Cowboys did this intentionally, but it is worth mentioning that the Cowboys have not won a division at home since 2014, when they ironically defeated the Indianapolis Colts. When the Cowboys won the division in 2016, they won it on a Thursday night when the New York Giants lost in Philadelphia. You'll remember that was the game where Odell Beckham Jr. was growling as he entered the locker room afterwards, and that was a great thing to see. So it would be cool. Dak and Zeke in that era have never won a division at home and gotten to put on the caps and t-shirts and have all of that fun, so that would be cool. Great friend of the show, John Dyer, says, I'm scared on Blogging the Boys' Facebook Live feed. The temperature will be checked. In fact, that's what we're doing here on today's episode of Ocho Live. So in a word, how would you describe your sentiments regarding the Dallas Cowboys entering this week? Because if the Cowboys lose, I'm going to be honest, if the Cowboys lose on Sunday, next week will be the longest week I think we've ever seen in Cowboys land. Next week will be unbearable if the Cowboys lose this Sunday to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Asher Hall on BTB's Facebook Live feed says, I'm scared. Our offense can't score. Donnie says, optimistic. Deck Goat Scott, the clever name on Periscope, says, confident. I'm feeling confident too. I really am feeling confident myself. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not that great of a team. Jay Risch on BTB's Facebook Live feed, a bit of a conspiracy theory, says, I'm of the belief that Jerry wanted to win the division at home. That would be great. You know, I think it's worth mentioning we haven't had a normal Ocho Live since the Cowboys lost to the Colts. Obviously, we had our postgame episode with my dad on as a special guest, but I'm really, we had a special episode, not a special episode, we had a normal episode of the 750 earlier today drop on the Block of the Boys podcast feed, and Tony Cassis and I were talking about this. I really am not that impacted by the Cowboys' loss in Indianapolis. And I know that sounds crazy. I know that kind of sounds like fool's gold. We're talking about a Cowboys team that had come off 5 wins in a row, 5 enormous wins, 5 just gut-wrenching losses for their opponents. I mean, that was a stretch of time where the Cowboys were dialed in beyond being dialed in. I mean, in that 5-game win streak, I think we forget the Cowboys beat 3 division opponents. 2 of them were the Eagles, and those two, lest we forget, were against the reigning world champions in the Philadelphia Eagles, the other one being the Redskins on Thanksgiving. The Cowboys went to Atlanta in this stretch and won in the house that broke their season a year ago, and their 5th game in that stretch was against the New Orleans Saints when the whole world was fired up about it. I mean, it makes sense to have have dipped a little, to have fallen back a little, to have lost some of that focus, lost some of that drive, lost some of that, whatever you want to call it. And is that a little troubling? Certainly. But I don't think it's worth panicking over, and I think the Cowboys are going to come out on Sunday and beat the Buccaneers. In fact, I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Bucs similarly to how they beat the Colts back in 2014. It kind of feels like that game where they just come out and kind of flex their muscle and win the division in front of the home crowd 2 days before Christmas. I mean, who doesn't want to see that? But most of the comments all over the place are fairly confident, I should say. Todd Hollerman on BTB's Facebook Live, he says, if we don't beat Tampa, then we panic, not now. And I agree with Todd. And again, if the Cowboys somehow lose to the Buccaneers, it will be relentless. It will be the worst week I think we've ever seen. It will be a long Christmas week if the Cowboys manage to lose to the Bucs. But a lot of people, a lot of you commenting, and I understand this, are concerned about the Cowboys' offense. And it makes sense. It really does. But the Cowboys' offense, I think, at the end of the day, still has Zeke Elliott and Amari Cooper on it, and I know that they didn't score a single point against the Indianapolis Colts, but you think about it, they still dominated time of possession, they still got within scoring range, they just tripped over themselves, and whether that was because of an overconfidence, because of not necessarily taking the Colts seriously, the fact remains that the Cowboys can still move the ball, and it's not like, you know, we're talking about an offense, and I realize here that the Cowboys did just score 0 points. I'm not at all trying to put lipstick on that pig, but the Cowboys are still very capable of moving the ball. It's not like they just go three and out every drive and are punting like crazy. It's weird. It's almost difficult to be bad in this particular regard, but somehow, some way, the Cowboys have found themselves here. So that's kind of the way things have shaken out. 22 Scott Hogan on Periscope asks about our confidence in Brett Maher. Let's go the number game here on Ocho Live. 1 to 10, what is your confidence level in Brett Maher? Cowboys kicker technically missed a kick in Indianapolis. Obviously, it was blocked, so not necessarily Brett's fault. Rudy on Periscope says a 7, and that is high. You know, that is high. Outside the Star says 6. Donnie says 3. The BSN says 7. So lots of you all over the place when it comes to confidence in Brett Maher. I'm at about an 8, and I feel like that's a little generous, but I'm at about an 8. Eric Doxson on BTB's Facebook Live feed says 4. Brett Maher is an average kicker in the NFL. You know, we're seeing kickers, even Justin Tucker obviously missed earlier this season. I mean, I think that Brett Maher is unquestionably a better kicker than Dan Bailey at this point, which I think is something that specifically shocked me. I know that that was something we've talked about at great length over the course of this season. But Brett Maher, I think, is a solid kicker in the NFL. Eric Mormon, one of the lower answers on Facebook Live, says 3. I get it if you're concerned about him, but we are talking about a dude. Remember, if not for Brett Maher, the Cowboys would not have defeated the Detroit Lions nor the Atlanta Falcons. They beat both of those teams on game-winning field goals. So I think you gotta give Brett Maher some props, some love. I think that Brett's not the biggest problem on the Cowboys. Certainly, the biggest problem right now is Scott Linehan. I know we're going to have a post coming at bloggingtheboys.com soon about what coaching changes you would like to see in 2019. And it does feel like Cowboys offensive coordinator Scott Linehan is the team's biggest weakness, feels kind. But Scott Linehan's offense, you know, it should be noted, and granted, this is, you know, something that exists not necessarily on a week-by-week basis, but all the time. It should be noted that the Cowboys were taking on an old friend in Matt Eberflus in Indianapolis, and that's a guy who knows them very, very, very well. But I do think it is worth mentioning that Scott Linehan, not to defend him by any means, because I'm totally with you that Scott Linehan certainly could be doing a better job, but it should be mentioned, in the interest of total fairness and objectivity, that the Cowboys were without Zach Martin in Indianapolis. They've lost Xavier Suafilo. They obviously don't have Travis Frederick. Tyron Smith is having one of his more subpar seasons, at least by his standards. Lyle Collins has really yet to grow into an elite right tackle. And so the Cowboys' offensive line isn't that great right now. It's, you know, to talk about average things like Brett Maher, fairly average. In fact, I would actually say, and this might be a little bit bold, I would say that Brett Maher is a better kicker than the current iteration of the Cowboys' offensive line is an offensive line. Brett Maher is better at his particular skill set at this moment than the Cowboys' offensive line is at this moment. And that, I think, is fair. But in spite of that, we're still seeing incredible production from Zeke Elliott. In fact, I just wrote about this right before we started Ocho Live on Monday, on Tuesday. Zeke Elliott is sitting on 1,892 total yards from scrimmage. He needs 108 yards from scrimmage in the remaining two games on the season to eclipse 2,000. That's a mark that he has never hit so far in his young NFL career. So Zeke Elliott is still, and you know, we talk about offensive line and lack of guys and Tyron Smith playing well, etc., blah, blah, blah. Asher Hall on B2B's Facebook Live, he says Collins is a guard, truthfully. I get it. There's a lot of people who feel that way. Zeke is having incredible success in spite of the Cowboys' offensive line being lackluster, if we're being honest. On Periscope, MGBIV4 says it's the combination of O-line, lack of offensive schemes. We run a base offense that is all Zeke. It certainly is all Ezekiel Elliott. Again, the guy's 108 yards away from 2,000 total yards from scrimmage on the season. So the fact that he is having this level of success in spite of all of that is unbelievable and says a lot about Zeke. You know, Zeke is being targeted at an unreal rate, at least compared to his standards. Zeke is being used so much more in the passing game, and we've seen a lot of that's dump offs and screens and things like that. It's not like he's, you know, necessarily running routes downfield. But Zeke Elliott has already been targeted more than twice as much this season as he was in his first two seasons combined. So the Cowboys are leaning on Zeke. The guy has just, you know, Zeke Elliott in his rookie season in 2016 had 354 total touches through 15 games. He did not play that last game in Philadelphia because the Cowboys put him on ice and rested players. That was 354 total touches. He already, through 14 games, one less game, has 358 total touches. That is how often he is being used in the passing game. He leads the NFL in rushing attempts, in rushing yards per game, in total scrimmage yards. He leads the NFL in an inordinate number of categories, and the fact that he is doing this in spite of A, the Cowboys' offensive line being a little lackluster, and B, Scott Linehan not having any creativity, just screams how independently talented Zeke is of his own accord. He should be in the running for the league's MVP, but you know, that's kind of a quarterback award. That's kind of how things roll. On B2B's Facebook live feed, Jay Rich says, Zeke can't score. Who cares about yards? He's not on Todd Gurley's level. He's lost a step. I think this is pretty absurd. Todd Gurley definitely is a touchdown scoring machine. In a fantasy football world, Todd Gurley probably is a far better option than Zeke. But in a real football world, there's no question that Zeke is probably a superior player to Todd Gurley. Zeke, at the very least, unquestionably means more to his team than Todd Gurley does to his. And you've seen that. You know, look at what they did against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Rams obviously got punched in the face by them, while Zeke's team was able to grind out two wins against the Eagles in a span of 5 weeks, as previously mentioned. On Blog of the Boys Facebook live feed, Derek Williams asks if Amari Cooper disappeared against the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, it is interesting to see, you know, how Amari Cooper was underutilized. You know, coming off the game that he had against the Eagles before the trip to Indianapolis, very interesting indeed to see why Amari Cooper was kind of, I don't want to say held back, but just, it was a weird overall offensive game plan. I mean, a weird day for the Cowboys, certainly in Indianapolis, but a day that happened and needs to be, you know, taken caution with. But overall, I don't think that the Cowboys we saw in Indianapolis are who this team is. I think that, you know, right now who this team is the team that's able to just hold on and beat teams like the Saints and win games like they did in Atlanta and find ways to score out of desperation like they did against the Eagles. They put up a huge flat stinker in Indianapolis, and nobody denies that. But overall, this team, you know, kind of put themselves in a position to have a flat day, and that's what happened. A lot of questions, by the way, all over Blog on the Boys Facebook live feed and my Twitter and Periscope about Farrell Cooper, the wide receiver kick returner, who just before we jumped on Ocho Live on Tuesday was released by the Los Angeles Rams. Lots of interest in him, and while I totally understand it, I totally understand the interest in Farrell Cooper, I mean, look, the Cowboys special teams, I think we all believe, are not that great. Cowboys haven't had the special teams groups that they have before. I think they certainly sorely miss Rich Bisaccia. That's one of the things that has been going on. I think that has created the difference in performance on special teams. But, I mean, why would you want Farrell Cooper? The Cowboys never return kicks anyway. When was the last time Jordan Lewis brought a kick out the end zone? Cole Beasley, obviously, is the Cowboys punt return man. But they're already getting help. They already have somebody returning, no pun intended, to their return group in Tavon Austin. Whether that will happen on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has yet to be seen or known. But Tavon Austin is this team's return man when he's healthy, which certainly has not been for a long time. MGBIV4 on Periscope says the Cowboys shouldn't have gotten rid of Ryan Switzer. I did find it interesting that the Cowboys obviously couldn't find use for Ryan Switzer. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. Great point by Dak Goat Scott, again on Periscope, fantastic name, that Jordan Lewis did return the opening kick against the Philadelphia Eagles. That should have been a fumble. Thank goodness the Cowboys dodged that bullet. But other than that, I mean, Jordan Lewis has to have returned something like, I would say, 10 kicks, maybe total on the season. It has not been many, so it's not like the Cowboys really would use, not necessarily that Farrell Cooper is one, but an elite return man. And again, they already have a preferred option in Tavon Austin coming back sometime in the next couple of weeks. A lot of you asking about David Irving news. Nothing on the David Irving front. Obviously, if anything were to happen with David Irving, we'd let you know right away at bloggingtheboys.com. But that seems to just be quiet for now. The Cowboys will return to practice tomorrow on Wednesday, December 19th, and get ready for the Bucs. It's a big week with the division on the line. Last home game of the regular season at AT&T Stadium. It's right before Christmas. This is the heavy time of the season, and you think about it, the NFC is kind of there to be taken. I mean, the New Orleans Saints got that big win last night on Monday Night Football, but outside of that, the Los Angeles Rams look vulnerable. Obviously, the Chicago Bears look stout, but I think they can be had. Their offense isn't anything supremely special. I think the Cowboys could flip a coin against anybody, at least, and give it a go. It'd be interesting to see if they could beat the Saints at the Superdome. So it would be great for the Cowboys to get this win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and lock up the division. If the Bears are also victorious on Sunday, if they beat the San Francisco 49ers on the road, that would cement that the Dallas Cowboys would be the fourth seed in the NFC, which would mean that next week's game in New York would be meaningless for the Cowboys, and we'll get a lot of comments about that, how there are no meaningless games, you play to win every game, etc. But the point remains that if the Cowboys win on Sunday, and if the Bears also win on Sunday, that the Cowboys cannot improve their playoff positioning against the Giants next week, which would mean that the Cowboys would very likely rest a lot of players. I would have to imagine they would rest Zeke. That's what they did in 2016 on the road in Philadelphia. Maybe they'd rest Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, guys like that. That certainly seems logical and something that would happen. But in order for that to be a reality, the Cowboys have to win their game on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As the BSN says on Periscope, if we lock up the East, they need to rest up. I think that's what we'll see. It will be a lot of fun. This is going to be a bit of a tense week. I think people are on edge given the way the Cowboys played in Indianapolis. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but we'll have fun together. Let's do this again tomorrow on, on Wednesday, December 19th, 2018. We'll go on as soon as the Cowboys injury report comes out to discuss what is on there. Hopefully not a lot. Between now and then, enjoy your Tuesday night. Enjoy your Wednesday morning. Subscribe to the Blog of the Boys podcast feed on Apple and Android devices. Got a brand new episode of the 750 with me and two-time Super Bowl champion Tony Casillas trying to figure out exactly what went wrong in Indy, because it was a whole heck of a lot. But enjoy what you got going on. Good luck with Christmas shopping. Stay warm. It's a magical time of year. I think they call it the most wonderful time of the year, if I'm remembering correctly. I'll double-check on that. So we will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation. and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.